right, let's take this thing national, coast to coast. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jason Brough, co-host of Halford and Brough in Vancouver. Plenty to dissect after their loss to Pittsburgh, but more importantly, maybe, is the loss on the blue line.
Yeah.
JB.
Yeah, I guess we're going to lob that one up for Brough to pound down.
Yeah.
That is a.
Can I ask you guys? Both of you guys have experienced American Thanksgiving, and it's American Thanksgiving today. So
happy American Thanksgiving.
If you're watching us, listen to us on podcasts or watch on YouTube, thank you for listening and happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So is everything, it's all during the day there?
Yes.
Like, so like a full turkey banger ready to go at like noon?
No.
What time?
3.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Listen. You know?
So we're like in the nap pension zone right now. 501 ET. This is like the nap zone when people have been together for too long.
Around 1 o'clock, I'm still home. I'm watching the football game, Detroit and Chicago. But I had no interest in coming to work today. I just envisioned everybody doing what I was doing.
I know.
Sitting on the couch. Munching away, waiting for the turkey.
Couple glasses of wine.
You know, my wife is proper American, and she usually takes off Yankee Thankie, as we call it, and she, you know, watches the Macy's Thanksgiving parade. And that is, like, no joke. I was downstairs at my desk, and I could hear sniffles. I was like, are you crying? She's crying. She's watching. You know, this is like a family tradition. This is.
Have you gone to the Macy's?
No. Right?
No, neither.
Can't say that I have. But it's like, it's a big thing. The Thanksgiving parade, the whole day. It's a wonderful day.
The best.
Just one time. Some, you know, Midwestern
Comes
family
along, got it.
Sure.
We would love to have you.
I would love
there.
To do it. One time, baby.
At least put it on right.
One time.
Do coaches get fired on American Thanksgiving?
The Bears coach, Mike.
Oh, my God.
On a Thanksgiving day after a football game?
Clock management. I hear he's defending himself by saying he thinks they handled it the right way. If he didn't catch the Lions-Bears game, pretty ugly mess at the
end.
And
we have a monitor in the studio. And did I not say, like, they're in field goal range? Like,
they were just outside.
What was that? What is that, 52, 53?
Yeah, well, no, they put it around. I think they usually put the line at 48 or 49 was the range usually.
Okay. So, listen.
Makeable range.
Have you watched the guys kick lately?
It's been back and forth. It's been up and down.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
American Thanksgiving, great stuff. And they don't like Eberflus, the guy that's the coach.
No,
his nickname's Dweeberflus. So that tells you all need to know.
I also love that they have it on a Thursday, so everyone knows Friday's not a real day.
Yeah, it's right off.
Yeah.
Do people work on Friday?
In theory. No, but no one works.
Are you kidding me?
It's not a real thing.
Anyways.
Okay. Dissected that Toronto Florida game pretty good in our first hour. Mm-hmm. If we look, you want a quick comment?
I was going to say something cool from last night. Point something out, but if you have a direction,
no.
Let me go. Coolest thing from last night, Cole Caulfield changes his number to 13 for Johnny Goodrow, goes into Columbus,
scores
his 13th goal of the season in Columbus.
Yeah.
Wearing 13.
Love that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like there's always a lot of hockey, there's a lot of serendipity with that kind of stuff. Remember when the Sedins, like they are the next guest we have on here, they scored like an overtime winner, and it was like there was some 22 and 33 sort of significance to it.
No, that's not enough information for me.
Well,
but sure.
Ask Jason Brough if he's on the line. He would know. He might know that.
All right,
let's welcome him in. Jason Brough, co-host of Halford and Brough in Vancouver, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650. Brough, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Just trying to figure out what's going to happen to the Canucks. Not looking good right now, guys.
Hey, what the hell is Sam talking about, Brough?
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's something with the Sedins when the last game they played, or there was like something with 22 and 33, like the time into the overtime that a goal was scored. Am I crazy here? Did that happen?
That kind of rings a bell. But
yeah, me too.
I'm not exactly sure.
Right,
they did have their final their final home game. It wasn't their final game, but there was their final home game. They played Florida and they scored an incredible overtime goal together. And it was actually one of the best moments I've ever been in Rogers Arena. I don't remember what the
there wasn't 22-33 left on the clock, probably.
Yeah, I think that's what that was it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, where are we with Hronek last night, leaving the hockey game? And quite the distraction is his injury outside of you guys really lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yeah. I mean, that was a bad one last night. But, you know, the Canucks, I don't want to say we could see it coming, but anytime Artur Seelovs is in there this season, it's a bit of a wild card. And he let the first shot in again against Pittsburgh. And then there were some pretty bad breakdowns. And, you know, it got out of hand pretty early. They made it interesting in the end. But when you finish the first period and you're down 4-1, I don't care who you're playing, it's going to be hard to win that game. And, you know, you mentioned Hronek there. There are four pretty big issues facing the Canucks. I think four. One is the goaltending, and Demko's still not back. I don't know when he's going to play. Maybe, you know, the first home game. So they got three more games on the road, and then they play Columbus December 6th, and some people are kind of targeting that. But we don't know if he's going to be good. We don't know what the impact of his injury is. I imagine it's going to be pretty tough to just start, you know, start a season without training camp and you're just thrown in there, especially with the blue line. And that's kind of issue number two. The blue line was in trouble before Hronek went out, and we didn't know until Elliot reported it after our show that Hronek was going to be out a while, but it didn't look good at that end of that Pittsburgh game. And maybe we didn't talk about it much on our show because we just couldn't fathom the idea of a right side with, you know, like we're looking at a right side of Tyler Myers, Noah Juulsen, Vinny Desharnais, who hasn't even been able to get into the lineup. They just called up Mark Friedman, who is an AHL guy, but the right side of their blue line is in big trouble. So that's kind of issue number two. Number three is the big elephant in the room with JT Miller taking a leave of absence. And we don't know when he's going to be back. We don't know much of anything about that story. And I would say issue number four is Pettersson still, like, he's producing, but he's not back. Like, he's not at the peak of his powers yet. He still looks off. His skating doesn't look right. So, you know, it's going to be tough. It's survival mode for the Canucks now.
So just to stay on Filip Hronek's injury here, like who's next man up? Myers? Is that a given?
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Hronek has been with Hughes as a pair ever since he came to Vancouver. They've never really experimented with anything else, and it's kind of like a, if it's not broken, don't bother fixing it. But, you know, there has been thoughts here and there, like maybe you spread the wealth out a little bit, because the first pair has been good, but this year the other two pairs have not been good. You know, Soucy and Myers have not been good. So it could be that you put Hughes with Juulsen and maybe Soucy and Myers are together again. I mean, they broke them up for a bit because they were so bad, but you know, it's in a lot of ways, it's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, because you've got Hughes and five guys, basically. That's the way it's looking right now. And, you know, there were lots of people saying, oh, they got to make a trade. They got to make a trade to get another defenseman in. And now you're in this situation. I'm just like, my God, it's even worse. Like Hronek, if it wasn't Hughes, Hronek might be the last guy they could lose after considering all they're going through.
Yeah, pretty serious stuff. Just for everyone clarifying, Sam, our boy Jovo did text in and said that in the final game, Daniel scored an assist by Henrik to tie the game 33 seconds into the second period. Daniel scored again on an assist by Henrik at 2:33 of overtime.
So okay, all right.
There was a little something there.
Yes.
So, you know, interesting thing, like a team in the NHL – the separating factors are the stars. They only go as their stars go. You mentioned Pettersson is having a tough time. Miller is the one that no one's really sure of. Before the show today, Sammy was reading me a couple things that people said that, like, you know, there's some Miller and Pettersson don't always get along. You know, is there anything to that? We're grasping at straws here, trying to make sense of what's happening in Vancouver.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to speculate too much about JT Miller's absence right now. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, yep. those guys, like, they've admitted they're different people. They've admitted that they've had to work on their relationship. Yeah. I mean, I hear their interviews. I'm like, are you guys in marriage counseling or what's going on here? Like, I got to work on our relationship. But yeah, I mean, that's always been, that's always been known.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just assume like, hey, you don't get along with everyone you work with, but you should respect each other and you should be able to work together. But I don't know, man, like the Pedersen slump was, I mean, Bourne, you know, I text you a few times. I'm like, I've seen slumps before, but this one is something pretty odd. And then JT Miller's absence, I mean, you know, I hope he's doing okay, but it's odd. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you don't see guys just being like, I'm going to take a leave. I mean, you see it if they go into the NHL, NHLPA program, but he hasn't. He's just kind of like, you know, like either him or the team has said, we need to cool off. And Patrick Alvin, I mean, the Canucks have been very tight-lipped about it, but Patrick Alvin and the few comments that he said, he's like, well, we're just happy JT's getting help.
Right.
And so it kind of lends, well, you know, everyone's curious. We're trying to respect it, but it's like, help for what? Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, that's the weird thing about, you know, these athletes, like, we don't really have a right to know what's going on with their lives, but we're sure curious.
Yeah, fair.
But we do know that if the help is significant enough that it's going to pull you away from work where someone's paying you $9 million, it's significant. And the tendency on help is no one really gets it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Sure, it takes time.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not sure what sort of length we're looking at.
Tough predicament to be in. So let me ask you, Bruford, just in terms of Rick Tocchet and all these dynamic storylines, how's he managing it? He can be an emotional guy. I've seen it. I've known him a long time. Just how's he handling it?
I think he's trying to keep his composure. Because I think he knows that if he flies off the handle, at least publicly, then everyone's going to start to panic. You know, I think that's pretty important for a coach to maintain composure. But, you know, I think he's frustrated. But it's like one of those problems when you go over the defense, there's no great solution. And with Hronek out now, you know, I don't know if Quinn Hughes can play the entire game, but he's going to be playing a lot of minutes. And then you run the risk of, like, are you going to overplay Hughes too much? You know, Tocchet had great success last season, and he brought respectability back to the Canucks. He really simplified their game defensively. He kind of did the things that I imagine, like, a lot of Ottawa Senators fans were going to hoping to happen this year with Travis Green, and we'll see if Travis Green can have some success there. But they were an immature team before Rick Tocchet showed up. They would make really dumb mistakes, especially defensively. They wouldn't handle the ups and downs very well. And then last season came, and it kind of came out of the blue. And everything was going right for them, especially in the first half of the season. And then a few things started to go wrong. Pedersen had his slump, and
lost him.
I think he just disappeared.
He disappeared.
Dropped call, Sammy. Wow. You've been on an incredible record.
I think that might be like literally the first one of the year.
Yeah. But
we didn't even the thump.
No, it was such a mild drop. We didn't get the bonk.
Who was it that we had on that was three separate and one phone call?
Oh, yeah. That was tough.
Kevin Kurz.
He kept insisting on calling him back.
I think it was like 70% of our guests 2 years ago.
It was the old studio.
Well, we're in the big professional studio now.
So it's really interesting, and I thought Jason did a great job. It's not against the law to talk about JT Miller, who is a public professional athlete. In poor taste to speculate, I guess, about what's happening. We don't know.
It really is, though, to the public. All that you need to know is he's gone because he's working on something.
Yeah.
Personally, yep. That's enough.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, but I guess where there's an information void, it gets filled.
I think the problem is, and again, you know, Sammy has made this clear, and I'm starting to kind of weigh in a little bit on expectations from the public on, and you brought this up with Matthews, he just disappears, and it's like day to day, and it's like, oh, no, no, this is 3 weeks here. So I don't think that Vancouver has done that with Miller, but like, this is not everybody's scenario at work, right? Nobody pays to go see Pat Flash at her desk, you know, upstairs.
Love
you,
Pat.
Know what I'm saying? We love Pat, but like no one's paying $200 to go see her, or there's an expectation. Mm-hmm. These guys get watched, and they people are making big commitments.
But do you think they're comparable situations? To me, one is where they're like where the Leafs are being purposely, you know, quiet about something and very kind of, I don't want to go as far as to say deceiving, where they're just like, hey, it's day to day. Now he's on an intercontinental flight. With JT Miller, it's more like, hey, he needs some time. Mm-hmm. He's going to go.
Yeah.
So
we do have Jason Brough back with us. Brough, do you remember where you left off, or do you want a new question?
Tocchet trying to keep his composure.
All right.
He brought respectability back to the team, and now we're wondering what he's going to do.
Yeah. You know, we talked about all those D, and we didn't even mention a guy who I read called Branchise in someone's article the other day. You guys big Eric Brandstrom fans or what? He's not helping out?
And he is, but I think it's one of those things where he's a nice story, but he's not the solution.
Okay.
You know, he added some puck moving, and the Canucks needed some puck moving, and he's been good, but you know, like we have a saying, and we used to say this about Alex Biega. Remember him? We used
sure
to say
do.
you don't want to get drunk on Biega, and you know, we don't want to get drunk on Eric Brandstrom. He's brought something good to the team, but he's probably a 6 or 7 guy. He's not gonna solve it, but you know, he's playing with enthusiasm, and he's playing with speed and some confidence. So I'm sure he's gonna be needed over the next little while.
But Leafs Nation is funneling Grabankin over here, just absolutely beer fun.
Brother, is it hard to gauge like where Vancouver is with so many teams underneath them, either struggling or just battling consistency?
Yeah, it is. It's tough right now. I think it's, for some reason, it seems hard to get a handle on the league right now. But I think the Canucks, especially, they've had a pretty soft schedule, if we're being honest. Typically, if you'd have a back-to-back in Boston and in Pittsburgh, you'd be worried about it. But this season's a little bit different. They beat Boston, but Boston controlled play. And Lankinen, who's been one of the good stories in Vancouver this season, played really well in that one. And then the next night, they didn't play so well, but not altogether different. But they just didn't get the saves from Seelovs.
So Seelovs is, you know, last year was a revelation. It seemed like this is not gone as planned. Is there a need to find a solution there, or just hope he plays his way through it?
I think the solution is just Demko coming back.
Yeah.
Hopefully the solution is Seelovs needs to go down to the AHL. And there was an element of getting drunk on Seelovs last season too. Like his overall numbers weren't spectacular. He was just put in a really tough position. And for a young guy, he performed well, but he wasn't perfect. And I still wonder how that series could have gone if for a few different things like Demko being in there and Pettersson playing well, but it didn't happen for the Canucks, and the Oilers deserve to win that series. But Seelovs is a super young guy, and for him to be put in this position, you know those feelings, you know those times you're watching a player and you feel badly for them?
Yeah.
It's not just like you're mad at them, you just feel badly for them. And I felt badly for Seelovs last night. The Canucks needed him to be good. He wasn't. And I don't know if he's going to get another game with the Canucks before Demko is back. And when Demko is back, they'll keep Demko, obviously, and Lankinen. That'll be their tandem, and Seelovs will go down to the AHL.
I am nervous. Whenever Demko does come back to play, this one's got me nervous. I don't know about how you feel, Brougher, or just the rest of the market in particular, but this has been one of the stranger storylines, injury storylines, again, that I've probably seen in my broadcasting career, mm-hmm. that I'm like, okay, what's the problem? I get it that a guy can't play in the playoffs early, but to fight through it and then go into the season with question marks and just this waiting out period now, even in the last week, 10 days, where you're like, you're thinking you're going to get him and you don't get him. And it's like, why? Is there, mm-hmm. is there a setback? Is there more swelling? Is there something going on that they cannot get right? Like,
I think they're just waiting a long time. And Demko had some interesting comments, actually. He said, like, I want to put this knee through hell in practice because I don't want to have a setback. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come in and it's 2 weeks and I have to leave it. But to your point, it's going to be terrifying. It's going to be terrifying anytime he makes a acrobatic save or anytime there's a goal mouth pile up, you know, and guys are jabbing away at the puck. You know, it's hilarious actually. And like his injury came out. And had you guys ever heard of the popliteus?
Not till we literally had a doctor right on to tell us about it.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
And it's very Canucks that their star goalie gets this popliteus injury. And, you know, everyone's saying, like, we've searched the world and no hockey player has ever had this injury before. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a weird injury. And I don't know how it's going to respond. I don't know how he's going to be. There's also the fact that his goalie coach isn't really with the organization anymore, certainly not on a day-to-day basis. So that's another factor in all this.
Ian what Park, happened there?
That's another good question. I think there was a difference in philosophy between Ian Clark and management, but Ian Clark was also getting older and I think his body was wearing down a little bit, so he didn't want to do the day-to-day of the goalie coaching. But, you know, my whole point earlier on is, like, all this stuff has happened to the Canucks after last season was a real dream season. Mm-hmm. And the vibes this year are just very, very different. And I think we're just going to find out what a lot of these guys are made of. And for me, a lot of it starts with Pettersson, because he's going to have to be a lot better. They're going to rely on him. Quinn Hughes has been really good. He scored an amazing goal against Pittsburgh. There's mm-hmm. been times where he's put the team on his back. They need Pettersson to do that too. And when Miller's back, you know, he needs to be good. And when Demko's back, he needs to be good. You know, they're in it right now. These next few weeks, it is survival mode for these guys. And it's fortunate that for them that they haven't had a disastrous start to the season in terms of wins and losses. They've actually, you know, they won 7 or 8 in a row on the road and they had some dreadful performances at home. So it's been a pretty weird season here, boys.
Jason, just one more for me. And just to add to that pressure on Alvin and Rutherford here. And like, do they have the luxury to kind of wait out and see what the blue line looks like without Hronek, or do they just have to go out there and find something in the next 48, 72 hours, if not sooner?
Well, not to bail on the question, but it probably just depends on the deal. You know, they did bring in Zadorov early last season when Carson Soucy got hurt. And I think there was a feeling like the vibe here is really good. Let's not let an injury derail things. But if we're being honest, things have kind of already derailed this season. So they've got a decision to make whether or not they just try and survive and pick up wins here and there, maybe force a few games to overtime, get a point here and there. Because everyone knows it's not easy to pick up defensemen in the NHL. It's expensive. And the position the Canucks are in right now, there isn't going to be anyone just granting them a great defenseman. It's, you know, you guys in Toronto know it's hard to find good defense. Everyone knows Edmonton, Toronto, everyone knows it's hard to find good
10 years.
Yeah, right. Like it's really, really difficult. It's why you got to draft and develop these guys. The Canucks do have a bunch of younger players in the system, but they're not ready to make an impact right now. So it's a tough situation for Jim Rutherford and Patrick Galvin, but you know, based on their track record, they're not wait around guys.
Yeah.
they like to do things. So if I were to bet, I would think there's going to be something coming soon. The question is, how big is the deal?
You're going to hear him Monday through Fridays on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, co-host of the Halford and Brough Show. Jason, thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Bye.
Yeah.
Spectacular radio show, by the way.
That is a very good radio show.
Yeah.
They know the Canucks real well. I was just going to say, just he mentioned it. Like, how many teams need so much help on the blue line? And Vancouver and Edmonton are two of the top. We've watched Toronto over the years. Everybody's saying, like, if not one, two, two, three defensemen away from winning.
Can I say something scary? I don't feel like that with Toronto this year.
You feel like they're all right?
They went out and got two.
That's what I mean.
Capable guys that could play 20 minutes a night.
I know, but
Bronick's
every year
at 23, I think.
Last night, Ekman-Larsson played the most, at least by 2 minutes.
If you're going to power rank the guys they could lose on that team for an extended period of time, Hronek is at the bottom of that list.
By the way, is that not like the massive like black mark on Yzerman in Detroit?
What was that? They gave up
on this guy. Hronek is currently 27, and he's played, what, 2 years now with Vancouver?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been...
Didn't want to pay him. Well, he had other...
Had to get Sherrod in there.
He had other guys he wanted to pay.
Because you're paying Sherrod and Justin Hall, so
and
you
Jeff
can't
Petrie.
Holy smokes. Like, Eric Gustafson. A bad look, Kip.
Yeah, it's tough.
And these young kids that he knew they were going to get squeezed on real fast with another contract that... They've all jumped to $8 million, $8.5 million.
Great. So is Hronek.
Yeah.
You know, he's worth it. He's value at that money. So that's pretty big pickup for the Canucks. But Shelob's being a, what do you say his save percentage was? 840 something?
Not pretty. 847, I think.
You're giving it to Sider all day long, and then you are Hronek.
Yeah, you can get both, though.
Right.
Can you?
Oh, a right handed shot.
Yeah, well, not to get too into Detroit here, but they are paying. Yeah, so Sider makes 8.5, but then it's Ben Sherrod. It makes 5 a year, 4.75.
What's Petrie at?
Petrie's at 2.4. Justin Hall's at 3.4. Eric Gustafson, who barely play with the Leafs, is making 2. Yeah. Anyway, it's just not the best. It's the drill tweet about I'm spending $3,600 a month on candles. Someone help me. My family's dying. That's what the Red Wings have done with their decor.
Anything else before game time?
Nope.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365.
So hold on for a second.
So there is something else.
Right before we did game time yesterday.
I said,
You say you want to do game time, and I said, yeah, let her rip. And then you made, like, a fart sound with your computer. Everybody thought you let one go.
It was with the papers.
If you did, that was a high-pitched squeaker on air.
Somehow, I pulled a paper out from underneath this, and it made a cartoon fart sound. I don't know how it happened. Derek, it's on my Twitter page.
At least that's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Listen. You never sneezed on air. I've never ripped on air. I can rip if you want me to.
No.
Let's
just keep our streaks alive.
Anyways.
Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, I was going to say bowl ice cream. We'll get it done. All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Terry only. Please play responsibly. So no NHL, obviously. Everybody gets out of the way for the NFL. The massive NFL. But tonight, there's actually a really good game. The third game of the three traditional on Thanksgiving in the States is the Miami Dolphins, who are all of a sudden back in the playoff picture against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. The Packers are big favorites, -185. Tua Tagovailoa in cold weather games like that are under 40 degrees. I think he's like 1-4 or 0-5. Hates the cold weather. So give me the Packers -3.5 tonight to take down the Finns at Lambeau Field. In a weird Black Friday game tomorrow, the Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. They are -800 to win the game.
That's insane.
-800 to win the game. They are 13-point favorites. If you want to, waste some money, you could bet on the Vegas Raiders at +550. And there's a bunch of afternoon action tomorrow in the NHL. There is One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight afternoon games tomorrow afternoon. So there'll be a ton of hockey on Weller's show.
Is there night games as well?
There is a few night games as well. Lots of hockey tomorrow.
I'm going to watch those games. You guys work tomorrow.
Yeah, like, we'll just watch them in here and everyone can watch them with us. I've seen some people have watch-alongs. We can do that.
Like, who are we going to talk to tomorrow? Everybody's just watching hockey. Like, we're doing a hockey show and every team's playing.
You're telling me that there are people dumb enough to watch people watching hockey live.
I didn't say that.
And that was Game Time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, to find out why it's never an ordinary at Bet365. It's been 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Do you know, every year since I've lived in Toronto, so 12 years, I have bet my friend that the Jets will finish with a better record than the Dolphins.
And you've never won.
I have never won.
You're like the Lions on Thanksgiving Day before today.
I detest the Jets. And I cheer for them. It's just
they're
listen.
Tough
I'm wrong a lot.
They're a tough unit to cheer for these days. They're really bad.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get into our news and notes, including
Patrick
Watt. Yeah, we'll talk a little Patrick Watt. Also, when we ended our Leaf Edition hour, I mentioned to you about penalty shots, and I got this radical idea, and I want to run it by you guys.
Hawk some merch too.
And then we're gonna hawk some merch.
Oh,
that and more.
Oh, what was that?
What?
Did I just hear something in my ear like a? A voice? No.
Let her rip.
All right.
Oh, let her rip. That's the sound. That little squeak sound. Can we hear it once more?
Let her rip.
All right.
That is so gross.
Class.
Thanks, what was that one?
Oh. Class.
No, that was from, that was like during somebody's scrum. Wasn't that Vasilevsky? Someone ripped a huge fart during it? That was in our first couple of years. We laughed so hard at that.
Right, I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's Thanksgiving. It's everyone's house right now.
Okay. When we return, more Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last block here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kypros, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. As we get a little into what's going on around the league.
I'm thankful for Bet365 because they've been a good sponsor for us. Thank you. But I'm also thankful for you guys.
What else are you thankful for?
Rogers is happy.
Yeah. Listen, if they're happy, I'm happy. I'm here.
Every day, the key card.
Just say it. We're thankful we got jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, the key card works, boys. It's a great day for me.
Yes, plenty to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Including
that
what's
German
going
doctor.
On with your New York Islanders? Because they gave up, I think, 6 to the Boston Bruins, and nobody has given up 5 or 6 to the Boston Bruins, which made Patrick Waugh's comments rather interesting after the game.
They don't have the horses. They have one injured guy, and all of a sudden they can't create any offense. I think when you're a coach, frustrating when you're like, take the Leafs last night. When you don't have the bodies and you're chasing a game, you're just like, what am I supposed to do? So why don't we play Patrick Waugh's thoughts on
let's do that.
The New York Islanders.
I mean, I love these guys. They work hard for me. I mean, every night, I mean, they're there. They're pushing. And then, it's the team that Lou gave me, and I'm going to work extremely hard for these guys. I mean, and I owe this to the players and to our fans. Make sure that we compete every night.
It's the team that Lou gave me.
Whoa.
That's a what am I supposed to do with this?
I mean, how would you have liked to heard me say after our first year of our show together? Yeah, they gave me Justin Bourne and Sammy McKee.
No one's listening, but
mid.
Like, look.
That's what they gave me.
Enjoy Pierre Engvall for 7 years.
Okay, so do you think that was calculated by Patrick Watt? Because it's hard to think that a lot of things aren't. Or was that just a reaction to a frustrating lineup to coach?
I think he's an emotional guy. I don't think that's premeditated. Do you? That would be a much bigger statement if it was.
Well, what is the statement there that you put a lousy team together?
I imagine if it were premeditated, it would come on the backs of conversations where Waugh's going, you got to get me someone. I need a scorer. I need some speed. You got to help us out. And Lou saying, oh, well, we have time, so use it. And it's an orchestra, and everyone's got to play a different instrument. And Patrick Waugh's going, jam your head in a tuba and trade a defenseman to our team.
Like, something's going to have to give.
It's not a good lineup, boys.
What's Lou's age at this point, fellas?
80.
Mo Raiello.
82.
He is 82 years of age. Like, at some point, not to be ageist, I'm just saying. It's up there. You know, he's a sharp guy, and he's been around the league and all that, but like...
You think there's any shot that they push Lou out and let Patrick go in there?
Ooh, both jobs. I think Lou wants to, like the like a monarchy, hand it off to Chris Lamoriello. Isn't that, I don't know if that's, he's around. Is he not the AGM there? Like, is that
acceptable for people to think that Lou is behind the scenes still, even if he's not there?
No. Yeah, you're right. I think that would lead to some potential distrust.
Now, the feeling after the last few years that Patrick Waugh was away, that he just wanted to coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm a coach.
I feel a butt coming on.
And I don't want to get in stuff. I don't want to get involved in the other stuff. And there is, of course, those last years in Colorado where there was a sense that he was trying to make general manager decisions or at least tell them what he wanted and needed. I'm not saying that that never happens with any of them, but that's the but is, could you see that?
I just don't think you can do it today.
Or like him be GM and coach, Pat Quinnett?
Going back in there.
I don't think it works. Like, it's just, it's a huge job being a head coach.
Does he even want that influence anymore? It seemed to have not helped him at the end in Colorado.
My only experience is working with Sheldon Keefe as a head coach. And that man grinded from 6 a.m. He's watching video at night. He's talking to players during the day. He's drawing up practice plans, talking to the development team. I can't imagine then being like, let's also talk, go to the GM meetings, call around the league. Like, I just can't. I don't think there's time anymore. The jobs are too big.
To your point, he's coming from the Q where he
Memorial
is,
Cup.
Yeah. But he literally, not a decision gets made under the Ramparts umbrella that doesn't get run through Patrick Waugh. Like, he is the ultimate decision maker. He builds the team. He coaches the team. Everything is Patrick Waugh. And I'm sure there's an element he gets hired by Lou when it first comes and they have a great run under him. And he's like, yeah, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when adversity pops up, you start to revert to back to like, well, I could probably do this better. I could probably do this.
For sure.
And I'm sure there's part of him that thinks like, yeah, I could build a better team than old Lou. But
do you know any former successful athletes? They might have egos.
Yes. I don't know if you know about Patrick Waugh. He's very successful.
Yeah.
He was very good at goalieing.
Yes.
So I don't know. An interesting one. It seems a little bit combustible to me. I mean, I watched this while I was looking for that clip. I watched his press conference from the game. My man's agitated. Like, we're getting back to old Patrick Waugh here.
And I know that for years, some people in ownership have had Lamoriello questions. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple other big storylines here. Where do you want to go, JV?
Do you want to do the empty net thing? Do you have that in front of you?
I do.
No. Okay. Can we just...
Okay.
I want to get this in.
Okay.
Because you were working last night. You must have seen the Charlie Lindgren goal.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my
God. I had to watch it again, twice, maybe three times.
Yeah. He didn't even really heal it.
I don't think I've ever seen a worse goal.
That's the worst own goal of all time.
In history. NHL history,
number
yeah.
one. Like,
right?
Obviously, like the stakes and all that don't, like, it's not the same.
It's not Steve Smith.
No, it's not Steve Smith. It's not Chris Phillips. It's not any of those.
It's tied with Patrick Steffen missing
The empty net.
The biggest gas.
And then the Oilers
but
coming back.
But that's made worse because the other team does a great thing. This is just you doing it all yourself. If you haven't seen it, go find a clip of Charlie Lindgren has the puck in front of his net.
Oh, we got a clip. Oh, he's got a clip.
He's going to wrap it behind his net and just shoots it in his net.
You can go to any...
You can go to any
learn-to-play hockey program around the world, and I don't think you're going to see a worse goal than that.
No. You need a certain set of skills to even be able to pull that off.
And you want to know something? I got a chance to talk to Charlie Lindgren about a year and a half ago at a Washington Capitals alumni.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the nicest
guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah. So engaging, so nice. I just felt so bad for him there. And
the boys picked him up.
No, there's no but.
They got the W.
They bailed him out.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's team building.
You think back to one of the other great goalie gaffes of all time was Vesa Toskala. When was it Sutton that scored on him from the other end of the night?
Yeah, but that was a bounce.
But they got the win that night, too. No one ever talks about that. So they still got the win.
That wasn't that far off from what we saw with
Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury earlier this week.
No, but that is the worst. Like I said, no stakes. No anything involved. If you're just in a battle.
It was 3-3 in the third period.
Yeah, but it's a regular season. Yeah. Steve Smith was in a, you know.
Did you ever play goal for your team?
Yeah.
Like, in practice?
Yeah.
Okay, the equipment's crazy.
It's impossible.
It's like. It can't even, like, can you imagine now spinning around and feeling like you've got your balance and your equilibrium and all of that? Like, I could see that happening. Not to him, but to me.
Yeah.
Right?
But for sure.
Well, just you usually err on the side of caution. He's like, what if that works from that angle? It's a tight bank back out the other side in front of his net again.
I went in net like recently, like within the last year, our goalie blew out his groin. And he's like, someone's going to go or the game's going to end. I was like, all right, I guess
so
I'll go.
Justin Pogge in there?
It's
what?
Horrible. 6'4". Why would anybody choose to do that? It's the worst thing. And to be able to
handle it. Andrew Brewer, who writes for sportsnet.ca, he has three boys and they're all goalies.
Oh my God.
I can't think of anything worse.
Ken Reed's goalie dad too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got
of one.
Yeah, no. Three's crazy.
Three's crazy.
Crazy.
Okay, so you've got a story on sportsnet.ca about empty netters?
No, it's actually on Daily Faceoff, and it's not by me.
Okay.
Paul Peduti wrote it, and it is on the trend of empty net goals and its effect on scoring races around the NHL. So back in the 05-06 lockout, there was 0.14 empty net goals a game. Here's what you need to know. Every about 45th goal in the league was an empty netter. Now, every 14th goal in the league is an empty netter. Way, way, way up. We're up to 0.42 goals per game as empty netters. Couple things are the reason for that. One is Waugh had something to do with this. Goalies are pulled earlier now because of analytics. They think it helps. The other is analytics have said that you can shoot from your own end, and the value of ending the game with an empty netter is worth the risk of icing the puck. And because your arrow, you probably chipped it out, right? Like you didn't shoot for the empty net from your side of the red.
Yeah,
it was taboo.
It was really bad.
And it was a selfish thing.
Selfish, greedy. Nobody wanted a face off of an empty net goal.
Right. So now they're shooting for it. What's really changed is it's not the guys going out there to protect a lead. Like let's say your team's up two. They're not putting out your best defensive forwards, your bottom line guys. Now it's these top-end guys. The guy, in the past 3 years, going back to, 21, 22, Jake Guentzel has 30 empty net points.
30 empty net points?
Oh. Last year, everyone's like, Marchessault had 42 goals. Seven were empty netters.
You know what drives me nuts, too?
30 empty net points is
Cooch had 14 last year, won him the Art Ross Trophy.
In my era, like, if you're 2-1 and you pull the goalie, and now they're doing it, with 4 minutes to go, and then it goes up, and then you score the empty net goal, and it's 3-1. You put the goalie back in,
and
you quietly tip your hat.
Thank you for the match.
No, they keep the goalie out at 3-1, 4-1, and it's like...
Ruby did it last night. They were down 4-1.
Yeah.
They were down 3-1. They had no chance.
I'd rather lose 3-1 than 5-1.
But, like, logically, it doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't.
Right?
Nah, it does.
No, but it doesn't. It doesn't actually.
Yeah, but logic isn't always. Wow, I was going to say the dumbest thing. I was going to say logic isn't always correct.
But that's
that's not.
That is my old school mentality. Is yeah. I think 3-1's a lot more respectable than 5-1.
Maybe there is something to it. Like your team's mentally gets out of the game in a closer game. I don't know what it is, but. Yeah, so last year Kucherov had 14 empty net points, and that led that took him to the Art Ross Trophy.
And aren't the Leafs really low on this?
Really low. Marner had the most with just 3
last year.
Way down. Yeah, Matthews had 2. Wow. So they don't get a ton of empty net points.
That's fascinating.
Okay. Early in the show, we were talking about penalty shots, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Right. What's the rule?
My radical idea is that you draw a penalty, and you always have an option of taking a penalty shot or going to the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think people would automatically take a penalty shot?
I think depending on the player.
Yeah. Or the goalie.
Yeah.
So like regardless, so it's like a 2 minutes for hook in the corner, yes. No bearing on the play. Yeah. You either get a penalty shot.
No. Are you saying every penalty call?
Everyone.
Yeah. Oh, well,
everyone.
That's nonsense.
No, I'm just saying, what would you rather have? So, if you got a goalie that has an impeccable like
shootout record,
you wouldn't lend towards just killing a 2 minute momentum kind of situation.
The it'd be interesting late in games when you like last night Nylander takes a 4 minute penalty with 5 minutes left. Maybe you say take the 2 shots. We want our goalie to save it and keep us in the game. I think about 32% of penalty shots go in and 20% of power plays end up in goals. So you would take the shot is the point. But that's based on sending great shooters. So if it's like you got to send who's hauled down.
I love the idea
of getting to choose a penalty shot or a power play.
At some point.
Like on a breakaway.
Yeah. Like you get called hauled down. Yeah. Like 3 minutes left in the game, you get hauled down. Yeah. Your team's
I'm
up.
Open
you say,
to any
we'd
idea.
Rather have the power play.
Yeah.
Rather rag the puck. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Now we're spitballing. Like, if someone said you could really do that, I'm like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, we got early gifts. Look at these things here. These are playing cards.
Oh,
Real
my.
Kipper and Bourne playing cards that you could get from the playingcardfactory.com.
Just the best call part them is and our tell faces are legitimately on.
So, look at this. This is just pretty cool here. So, they're just playing cards.
What's the gentleman's name? Thank you to
but look
the gentleman who did these. We really appreciate it.
I'm on the king.
I couldn't help but notice that you're on all the kings and I'm on
all the
queens.
Hold on, where's JB?
I'm the queen of the castle.
Queen of the castle. And the jacks. The Jacks are Sammy.
Oh, I love it.
Picture.
What is that picture? Like, I don't know where they found any of the pictures. It's incredible.
This is where they really got us right. Three jokers.
Group of jokers.
Oh, I love it.
Three jokers.
I love that.
I was the playing card factory.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, thanks to them. Nice gifts.
Really cool.
God, now I hope my wife's not watching. She'll know her gift.
Could you imagine?
I gotta tell you, I was definitely gonna give a pair to my parents.
Yeah.
Not as their only gift, but they were gonna get something, but now they know.
You know who won't know is my son.
No, yeah, that's
may end up getting them.
Yeah. So all quiet tonight, no games tonight.
So what are we going to do tomorrow?
I think they should just go head-to-head against the NFL.
Yeah, jump up and try to contest the dunk.
Just start now.
Yeah.
Start. Who's the NFL to compare to the NHL?
Oh, yeah.
You don't want that answer. You don't want that answer.
Yeah.
You guys went heavy last night, even on the Team Canada stuff.
Yeah.
I think people are starting to really get excited.
David Amber is.
Oh, he's so fired up. Me and DA should do Team Canada show.
I actually don't disagree with that. You guys should be like the reaction pod.
No, we talk about is that I want Hagel. They were talking about what was it called?
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
And it was Hagel and who was the other choice? I can't remember.
Tampa Bay record for assists.
5 assists
in a period.
Last game, I think. Yeah. He leads them in penalty kill and ice time. He's like their play driver.
It's gonna be hard for me to cheer for him.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's on my short
list. He's ratty in a good
way.
He's
on my short list.
Yeah.
I
think Wilson's the big one that I'm not sure about. Because I think Canadians want a big, strong, forechecking
thought
bass.
Bennett looked awesome last night.
You know?
Bennett looked awesome.
But I just don't know if he's...
Listen, go back to like, I think it was Team Canada 91. Eric Lindros 6'4" to what, 25, 230, and he must have been not much than 21 or 22 years old, ran everything in sight. That's what they need.
He was also, like, you know, offensively elite.
Yeah, he was amazing.
All right, thanks for watching. We're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. Have a great night, everybody.